Well, I guess I'd love to start out with, obviously I know the influence was Todd's song, but I'd like to talk about other influences, because from the very beginning you throw out Five Easy Pieces. There's obviously a little bit of The Hustler. I mean, I know Pool's a part of his song, but the whole hustling part, I felt like, man, it was straight out of The Hustler. I'm curious, as far as when you sat down to dive into this story and turn it into a script, what were you thinking of when you were, you know, how you wanted to put the image out there?
Great question. And thanks for catching the little Five Easy Pieces, little Easter egg we dropped there. I was born and raised in Austin and kind of grew up in and around the kind of music scene here in Austin, where I am today. My mom was really good friends with some folks who ran some really well-known kind of singer-songwriter joints in the 70s and 80s. And so I was like a little kid, literally like a little kid hanging around these juke joints, watching people like Townes Van Zandt, Lucinda Williams, Guy Clark, Jimmy Dale Gilmore, people like that play. So that kind of, you know, music world is definitely kind of embedded in who I am, kind of as a person. And I'm a huge music fan, fairly genre agnostic, but I really do love Americana and roots music, and old honky tonk music and stuff like that. So I kind of have spent a better part of my life in like cool music venues and dive bars, and really kind of infused my life with music. So music is definitely a big portion of this. And you know, that love of music led to Todd, and I just am such a huge fan of not only his music, but his just incredible storytelling. He's able to kind of blend drama and humor in such a kind of witty and unique way. I really kind of embraced that and leaned into that kind of for the film, for sure. But then another big kind of influence on me is I really, really love 70s kind of character dramas. And so I think a lot of some of the stuff that you're feeling kind of in the movie is some of that kind of, you know, kind of 70s character drama stuff. You know, stuff like, you know, Taxi Driver that Paul Schrader, you know, wrote, that Scorsese directed, I think is a movie that probably has some things that I kind of infuse into this. And I do, I love gambling, a bit of a, kind of fancy myself a bit of a degenerate a little bit. So definitely The Hustler and Color of Money and that whole kind of pool hustling, kind of gambling kind of aspect of the film was definitely influenced by those great films. It's great that you bring up The Hustler, because it's just such a classic, you know, movie, gambling movie, especially in the it goes in the gambling category as far as I'm concerned. And it's just a great, you know, great movie and great example of kind of characters kind of living on the fringes and out making stuff happen. So I really kind of embrace that kind of stuff.
Speaking of that era of the 70s, and I love that you brought up Taxi Driver, having your lead not be the typical hero. Jesse's got a lot of demons, some we know, some we don't know. It obviously bleeds into his whole arc of story. And a lot of the characters have this obviously dark element to them. Can you talk a bit about keeping some things hidden with your script? I love that you tease certain things about his past, but you don't dive into anything deep. You keep the mystery with the darkness. Was that always intended?
You cut out a little bit there on that last part. Can you repeat that last part?
Yeah, did you intend to have this mysterious feel to Jesse's journey as part of his kind of anti-hero side? I mean, I love that we don't technically know all about him. He's not your typical hero. He's just a guy kind of going through life.
Yeah, totally. I think that's more emblematic of how people really are, right? There's people are not necessarily black and white. You know, people are very gray typically, and things that are positive attributes of somebody are often also, you know, result in the negative attributes and flaws that those people have. So I just think that it's kind of more true to, you know, to real drama and real characters to have those kind of layers. And the mysterious part, I definitely, I really like to leave some things up to the audience to kind of interpret and figure out themselves. And you don't have to give the whole backstory. You can kind of allude to some things without having to, you know, fully, you know, hit the audience over the head with it, you know? So there's a lot of stuff, just kind of small little hints of things that are in the movie that a lot of people might not even pick up the first time they see it, that might, you know, kind of reveal some truths about Jesse and what his kind of backstory is and where he's come from and some of the demons that he's dealing with. And, you know, the truth is I really tried to kind of, and you alluded to it in your question, I really tried to infuse that kind of across the board, you know, with all the characters. You know, at the end of the day, kind of one of the big themes of the film is just like about people trying to make human connection and, you know, feel connected to one another. And we really carry that. Obviously, that's embodied through the relationship between Jesse and Carla, played by the great Sophia Bush. But it also kind of goes, you know, across the board into many of the other characters. Officer Zach is obviously, you know, that Brian Sack plays as this kind of lonely, sad sack looking to make connections. And even, you know, down to the Lewis character that RZA plays, you know, we really wanted to, RZA and I got together and we really wanted to kind of flesh that character out and make that character be kind of real and have, you know, peel away layers and kind of reveal things to the audience that the audience maybe didn't see at first, you know. So there's kind of even with that character, there's a little bit of a misdirect where we think one thing and then once we find out more information, we actually peel away layers and it's actually not exactly as what Jesse and the audience kind of assumed at first. There's, you know, this guy who's really kind of hurt and you know, kind of looking for that human connection and losing his, you know, something that's important to him at the moment, and we kind of reveal some of those kind of loneliness kind of things that are, you know, just deep down in all of us as humans. You know, we're all looking for love and connection with other people, and so that was kind of one of the overriding kind of themes of the film, and tried to kind of embed those little nuggets kind of throughout the characters, and definitely, you know, with Jesse, of course, the main character.
Well, it definitely works. Dermot Mulroney's character was freaking crazy. I never expected to see him like that. That was like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, you know, he's for so long has been, you know, the often tied to Julia Roberts because of his long working relationship with him and you know, longtime friendship, and I think they even dated at one point, or maybe were engaged at one point. But I sometimes like to think of him as America's sweetheart, and then we kind of took him in the opposite direction here, and really went full dirtbag.
You know, Justin, I was amazed at the visual, because you don't have too many locations. You've got a couple of bars. You've got the room itself is, gosh, I want to say we spend almost 45 minutes in that room throughout the movie. Can you talk a bit about working with your DP on capturing this? Because I was amazed at how much was going on in such small, confined spaces, and yet you were able to get beautiful light. You were able to get some incredible performances. I love the pool shots, both when during the day with Sophia, and then, of course, the party was amazing at the end. But can you talk about the visual look of the film? I was blown away by it.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. You know, it was really important to us to capture that kind of lived in, you know, patina of these spaces. And I'd say, you know, some great photographers were real inspiration for us. So, like, you know, William Eggleston, probably first and foremost, was, you know, kind of what I initially kind of started pulling reference pictures from to share with Jazz Shelton, the DP, who is a longtime friend and collaborator, and he and I go way back and have done a ton of national TV commercials and big projects together. So this was a real great collaboration between the two of us. We shot 35 millimeter for half the film.
Wow.
And part of the reason that we did that was to kind of build in that kind of grit and patina that, you know, that the 70s films had. And then we switched over and shot Red Digital Cinema on the big Monstro sensor, which is like the VistaVision 70 millimeter sensor, basically. And we shot that kind of once Sophia arrives, and for the second half of the film, shot on that format. And that format, because it's that huge sensor, kind of almost like a 70 millimeter film, you know, size, it gives more kind of focus fall off and less depth of field. And we really wanted to kind of use that to kind of bring Jesse and Carla together kind of as characters and kind of put them in the center of the frame and the center of the focus. Finding this motel was kind of the key to all of this. And there's been some great, you know, kind of movies that are like, you know, play style movies that are done in one location. You know, I'm thinking of Linklater's movie Tape that was done pretty much all in a little motel room. And as much as I love that one, I think there are some visual limitations to what you can do in a confined space like that sometimes. And so what we sought to do was to find a place that kind of could be that kind of single location, but allowed for the characters to move around in space and allowed for us to also feel spaces outside of the room. So it's kind of a funny story. We found this motel because we had known people who had worked on the Leon Bridges video, The River. So we were looking, you know, high and low all over the country for great, you know, rundown kind of mid-century motels. And we found this one there in Long Beach because some friends of ours who had worked on the Leon Bridges video, The River, you know, kind of tipped us off to it. What's unique about it, it has these floor-to-ceiling walls that overlook the courtyard pool. So that really allowed us to get that kind of depth and that space so we could, you know, really use that big sensor to get that shallow depth of field and all that focus fall off so that we could get all the bokeh of the mixed color temperature lighting that we were using and really kind of make that space not feel so confined. And it also had a patio so we could kind of move them out to the patio for scenes. It also has the, you know, the front patio area, like where Officer Zach comes, there's the ability for us to kind of transition. Even if we're in the same location, we're able to transition to a kind of a whole different look in a different space in that location. So yeah, that motel was really kind of the key to unlocking, you know, a lot of the visuals for us.
Yeah, it felt like its own character, to be brutally honest. I was amazed at the hotel.
Thank you. Yeah, it's another funny story is we found it probably a year, maybe 18 months before we shot. We had to wait for Michael Dorman because of his show Patriot on Amazon and some other stuff. And then by the time we went to start prepping and shooting, they had kind of done a remodel. And those rooms had gone from being like very 70s patina to being very like 90s corporate like hospital vibe, and we had to basically rebuild the room to look like what we wanted it to look like after their they tried to improve it with a remodel, but they probably missed the mark a little bit as far as what we were looking for.
Where'd you find that car that Jesse has? I love that car.
Oh yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's actually sitting in my driveway right now in Los Angeles, and I'm going to be driving it to our Q&A film event we're doing this weekend on Saturday in LA. I had ridden in a similar car that we scoured the country trying to find, and it came down to it, we couldn't get that car to us in time. So we ended up finding that Nova. It's a 78 Chevy Nova. We ended up finding it, I think, on Craigslist down kind of in South LA, and drove down there and bought it with cash on the spot and drove it back to the production office that very moment. So it's kind of a fun adventure to find the car after, and it came in very last minute after we found a bunch of potential other cars in different states and stuff like that. But you know, you're always kind of scrambling on an indie with a low budget. So we ended up finding a needle in a haystack that happened to be in our backyard and made it happen.
Another unique reference I laughed out loud when this happened, when he's talking to the officer on the patio right there. He breaks out his Blockbuster card. Was that always in your script? That made me crack up.
Yeah, it was. You know, the movie's pretty heavy at times and has a lot of kind of real life stuff going on. And so we wanted to, at least some of my favorite films, even if they're heavily dramatic, have some kind of quirky and dark humorous moments to it. So try to infuse some of that into this movie as well. And I can't remember where the idea originally came to me, but the idea of him carrying around this, outdated Blockbuster card to do illicit things with, I just thought felt like, something that this character would do. It's like he's got his little record player in his suitcase. He's got these little, small little things that are like his important details in his life as he kind of bounces around from cheap motel to cheap motel, living out of a bag. And those small little things kind of, I thought there would be some that would be kind of mischievous and playful. And I thought that the Blockbuster card kind of brought that to it, especially to the kind of the drug stuff that was going on with it to begin with. And then, I just thought there's something really funny here if he actually pulls out the card that he definitely doesn't want the police officer to get his hands on.
I'm kind of curious. You do a wonderful job of letting us see Todd's song at the end. I was amazed, especially with how much of the song is actually in your dialogue between Sophia and Michael. I'm curious, how much did you... Gosh, you put almost the whole song into this story. How important was it to keep true to kind of Todd's story? But when he plays it, it's so... It's almost tongue-in-cheek, and yet you gave it that dark side. I'm curious, what made you love this song so much to put some of it into the film?
Yeah, great question. I feel like story songs kind of are a unique window into, people, characters, and people and stories that we don't kind of usually see kind of on the big screen and then television and stuff like that, right? A lot of these kind of story-based songs are about kind of people on the fringes or downtrodden, and so I thought there was something fun there. Fun isn't the right word. I thought there was something important there that we could do, where we can kind of see a glimpse into some people that we don't necessarily typically see on the big screen. This kind of community of creative people who kind of live, a little bit on the edges of, polite society, you might say. There's something really, there's so, just such a humanity to those folks. And I spend a lot of time in places like that with a lot of those people, and I just really think they're kind of special. That was kind of the first thing, was there's just this story that's, kind of interesting and not often told. It's a lot of times a lot more glitz and glamour, being told on the big screen. So I thought that was cool. And the song itself, it's really contained, so that as a debut feature and something we needed to do on kind of a limited budget, is like, okay, here's this really dynamic set of characters that can be involved in a cool story, but also be, achievable, and it's kind of contained. It's not a huge epic, sci-fi or action movie or something like that. So that was another aspect to it. And as far as like embedding Todd's, lyrics and stuff into the song, into the movie, stuff from the song into the movie, that was always the case. And we even expanded well beyond that. So there is this amazing kind of light bulb goes off moment after you finish the movie and you watch the end credits where the song plays, and you get to do those aha moments as every little aspect of the film is kind of revealed in the song. But we went deeper than that. I'm a huge Todd fan and very familiar with like all of his catalog of work. And he's this incredible storyteller who often tells like 15-minute stories before he plays 3-minute songs. And they're hilarious and poignant at the same time, which is a hard combo to pull off. So I embedded the film with tons of other, like dozens, if not hundreds of other Todd Snyder references and Easter eggs and characters who have names from characters and stories that he's told over the years and various things like that. And the people, he's got this huge cult following, right? And the people who are in his cult following, or his big super fans, they call themselves the Shithouse Choir. And those folks, some of those folks got to come to a sneak peek in Nashville, and they just went absolutely gaga over this movie. And I put all that stuff in there in a lot of ways for them, the people who are the diehard Americana music fans and the diehard Todd Snyder fans, as a way to just kind of honor and celebrate, you know, troubadours and Todd. And there's tons, you know, throughout the movie, John Prine references and Kris Kristofferson references and Townes Van Zandt references and tons of great music, obviously. But it's kind of one of the aspects of this for me is like a real celebration of music. Music's been such an important influence on me. And so I wanted this to be my own kind of interpretation and piece of art, obviously, but also at the same time, a real kind of referential celebration of these other artists that are important to me and have, you know, influenced me as a creative myself.
Very nice. Well, it definitely comes across, and I appreciated seeing it. Being a kid growing up in Texas, so many of those references hit really strong. For my final question, Justin, I'd love to just ask kind of a crazy question out there. I love that there are so many tattoos and wild tattoos on a couple of these characters. Where did some of the inspiration for tatting up these guys? I mean, I think the guy who gives him the eight ball that works at the gas station, that's Benny. His tattoos are hilarious. I love the way you gave them a whole character without any dialogue needed.
Yeah, no. And I, if I remember correctly, Taylor Gray, the actor, has little or no tattoos on his actual body. So most of those are all done by us, most if not all of them. And he is so talented and so good in that scene. There's this, you know, some part of my reference was like, there are these like kind of gritty hipster rockabilly dudes that, you know, are sleeved out and, you know, neck tattoos and stuff like that. And so I just thought it brought like a real kind of patina to the character. And like you said, it kind of tells us a little bit about the guy, you know, without us having to say much, you know, without much exposition or much kind of like forced backstory of, you know, where he comes from and who he is and, you know, stuff like that. I thought some of these, whether it was wardrobe choices or, you know, ink choices like that, you know, I thought they really kind of served us well. And it's, you know, the kind of Americana honky-tonk world, the modern version of it right now, is very much kind of like, you know, a little bit kind of like what the punk scene was like maybe in the 70s and 80s, you know. So there is this kind of alternative side to it. You know, people think of country music and they think of all the slick stuff coming out of Nashville. Well, there's a huge you know, group of people who are into classic honky-tonk and like, you know, modern Americana that's a little bit rough around the edges and not as polished as that. And that's kind of a scene that I run around in a little bit and a scene I really appreciate. So that's kind of part of it, is that kind of, you know, kind of creative and alternative kind of fashion sense, and also kind of just look at the world. And so I wanted to kind of, you know, infuse that into, you know, the characters where I could.
Well, Justin, thanks for the time. Love the film. Love that you highlight the outlaw. It works so well. And yeah, thanks so much for the time. It was a real pleasure, buddy.
Hey, likewise. Thank you so much for checking it out and for having me on. And yeah, it's you know, I made this movie in some ways, you know, because it fits my particular taste and creative appreciation. And it's really great to connect with other people who they can relate to it and appreciate it as well. So we appreciate you helping kind of spread the word, and just got to find a few more million people like us out there to go out this weekend and see it.